The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, you can see that the walking wounded of that, that would be wrong.
Defeat.
He's not defeated any longer. Defeat. His feet are doing better. So he's back. Jim is on retirement again until next time at the reserve unit. And we'll get started with prayer and see what God has in store for today. Father, you know our needs. You know our beginning and our end. You know the very breath within us. You created us in our mother's womb. You even brought us to this place, this day, at this time. And Lord, you have the ability to meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, I ask that you'd meet our needs today, that we would experience you, that we would know that you're with us, and that we would see a hand of mercy at work in our lives. Father, cause our problems to diminish in our eyes, and that you would increase in our eyes, and we'd see you as the solution to all of our problems. We love you, Father. We praise you and we bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen. 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 All right, Rob, you got it.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I got a song here that we've never done before here at this church, so I just want to introduce it to you so you know what to sing when we do it. So it goes like this. Shout, shout for joy. Shout, shout for joy, for the Lord is giving you the victory. And then we sing that again. But then the verse part goes like this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No kingdom raised against you shall stand. For the Lord is the rock of our salvation. Thank you.
thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You've given us the victory, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, I hadn't thought of that song in a really long time, and we were just driving down the road a couple weeks ago, and I started thinking of that song. So you know it's the Lord when he wakes you up in the morning with a song. So that's our prayer, that when you go home during the week, that when you need encouragement, these songs will come back to you, and you'll remember that he has given us the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Sweet wind, come and blow.
Thank you. Our God
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Just spend a few moments here in worship.
Hallelujah.
We give you praise.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Our God saves. Yes, He does. Our God saves.
Thank you. Thank you.
That you are here with us in this place. One of all the places you can be across this vast universe of time and place, you chose to be with us and that we could be with you. That such thoughts are too high for us, just beyond our imagination. That you would be with us. And we praise you and we thank you for that. Hallowed be thy name, dear Lord. Hallowed be thy name. And Lord, we look forward to that great and wonderful day that you'll call the whole church home. And that we will all be together, gathered with you in the heavenly realm. That we will see you face to face. We will know you even as we are known. And we will experience your glory beyond imagination. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our spirit yearns to be with you. As David wrote in the Psalms, as a deer pants after the water bottle, so our souls long for you. So we do, Lord. We long for you with all creation, as Paul wrote, groans, waiting for the great day of our total redemption. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Even as the last book of the Bible talks about, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Lord, and so we come. And so we stand in your presence. And worship you. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated.
Just want to say good morning to everyone.
What an unbelievable privilege we have to join together, to lift up our voices, to praise the Lord, to have incredible messages imparted to us. That God is a cleansing fire. And you know, that scripture about that he's a consuming fire used to disturb me all the time until I realized that when God consumes us, he consumes us into himself.
Yes.
We're not annihilated. We're brought to a better place, a fuller place. And I just feel so led of the Lord to just address you this morning. The Lord showed me something this morning that just actually shocked me in a way, and certainly broke my heart, because I realized how I have lowered my expectations. You know, to come to the church. You know, to I have forgotten. You know, why we come? We come to join together, to worship Him and to encounter the Holy Spirit, to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit come forth. And I would say this morning, Ro and Evan and Becky, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are ministered through these people. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom are imparted to us. But we have to receive them. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God knows your name?
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, does it spur you to think that we know his name?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Rose has taught us so much to focus on the names of God. But if we don't do it, we don't realize and meditate and renew our mind on who it is that we worship, who it is that we depend upon, who it is that we look to, because our God saves. Our God. We know his name. We know his name. And his name is a name above every name, and every name that is named about him, it's for our deliverance.
Yes.
It's for our salvation. It's to empower us to go out into a lost and dying world, to a hurting people, and to love them to God. Not to make a name for ourselves, not for us to look good, but for them to know him.
Amen.
For them to know him. The name that's named above every name. The one who saves us. The one who saves us. The one who heals us. What are your wounds today? What are your wounds? I want to tell you some of my wounds. I'm angry. I'm so disappointed in what's happening in our world, in our culture. And I'm heartbroken. I'm heartbroken. I am so wounded by what I see, the degradation of men, when I have to deal with people who are depraved. I mean, they're literally depraved without God.
Yes.
And it just breaks my heart. And it makes me angry. And then I'm so disappointed, because I know that this is going to impact our children and our children's children, and they won't have what we've enjoyed for so long. But we have not lost everything, because our true joy is in Christ and in knowing him. And nobody can take that from us. And nobody can keep us from sharing that, because when we share that, it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Truth is greater than deception.
Yes.
Light greater than darkness. God greater than man. Man cannot overcome our God.
That's right.
It cannot. Man can cause destruction. He can cause loss. He can cause deprivation. All those big words. But God is the God who blesses. In the midst of all the tragedy, God can bless you and strengthen you and give you a happy heart because you know him. And I love this, though. His spirit moving. His spirit is moving. When I walked in the door this morning and I saw all of those gifts that you had brought, oh, my hope has just jumped up and leaped up inside of me. God is moving. This is not happening just here. This is happening throughout the body of Christ. We are not dead.
Amen.
We are not dead. The church is not dead. And God's people, in their own heart, in their own mind, making decisions, help the hurting. Let's bring something extra. When other people are buying extra to keep it because there's a shortage, you're sharing what you have. It's just awesome. Awesome. And here we are. Here we are. It's just a testament. You're a testament to the church being alive and well and loving and caring and being aware that we can help people. We can make a statement. We can say that Jesus Christ loves you and cares about you. In your darkest hour, he will send help to you. That's what you were saying. It's just awesome. And so this morning, let's renew our hope. Let's renew our strength. Let's renew our faith. You know, and even it is when I was praying earlier, I remember the scripture where it says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means he starts our faith, and then he polishes it up, and he finishes it out. So if your faith is broken, bring it to him. Bring it to him. Let him fix it for you. Let him polish off the scars and the scratches and the wounds. But renew your faith. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. You know, renew your commitment and your devotion to the word. If you want to know a good place to start, just start in the Psalms. Just read the Psalms. If you read 5 Psalms a day, you can read the whole book of Psalms in a month. I promise you, it will strengthen your spirit and will strengthen your heart. And you'll be walking in strength and in light so that you might shine into the lights of the lives of other people. God wants to use you. It's more important now than ever, ever, ever before that we let the light shine, because there are so many hurting people. So let us do that. I'll end with this. I have a little niece that is, she's just got a way with words. And she made a statement. Actually, it was during her eulogy of my brother when my youngest brother died. This has been 10 years ago. And one of the things that Kate said about her Uncle Jimmy was that he was a man of faith. And that was one of the things. She was listing things that she loved about him. And she loved that he was a man of faith. And she encouraged people to have faith. And she said, if you don't have any faith, well then, get some. I love you all. I love you all. I hope that we can encourage each other. I hope that this has come to you as a strengthening. It's never a condemnation, but an encouragement. That, you know, I want my eyes sharper. I want my ears to hear and my eyes to see. And I'm reminded of the scripture that says, God says, do you think the one who shaped the eye and the one who planted the ear himself cannot see or hear? He can. He sees us. He hears us. He is with us. And he tells us, I will give you eyes to see and ears to hear so that you might know me better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Beth. Good word. Very good word. Amen. Last night, Pat and I were watching a movie, a secular movie, and it was almost a sci-fi movie in many ways. But at any rate, there's this young mother, had two beautiful children and a handsome husband, and lived in a beautiful home, and kind of the American dream, you know, just a picture of what you think it was. But she was distressed and disheartened, and she couldn't get a grip on it. The marriage wasn't what it could be. The kids were a bigger aggravation than they should have been. And she knew something was wrong, but she couldn't figure out how to fix it or what it was. She couldn't identify it. You ever been that way? You kind of know something's wrong, but you can't put your finger right on it, but you know something's not where it ought to be. And as the movie progressed and her despondency began to grow, she finally went to see her local priest, who she hadn't seen for a while, because when she walked in, and it was like a weekday, and he remarked that, well, you haven't been here for a while. But he began to talk to her, and she said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but something is wrong. And he said, maybe you need to get back to your faith. And she said, but I don't know how to get back. And I think that probably is the malady of our church today. When I say our church, I'm not talking about necessarily New Beginning Church, but all churches. People would like to get back to their faith, but they don't know how to get there. They remember the fragrance and the joy of their salvation, but in the case of the movie, the life, children, working, all of those things just kind of stripped it away. And I believe it's time, Pat, for resurgence of our faith. Trusting God, believing in the Lord, and do whatever it takes to do that. For every one of us, it probably would be a different thing. But I think all of us would like to re-energize the joy of our salvation, remembering how great it was. Not that we need to go back to baby steps in the kingdom, but to at least be at a place where we feel that God's in control and that we're trusting Him. As Pat said, every day there's something else that just, I don't know, it just makes you shake your head. And, you know, Nick, we were talking about that at the Wednesday Warriors this week, and it's so difficult. I believe something really dramatic is going to happen as far as our nation is concerned. Joe Biden cannot continue the way he's going. If you saw him in that town hall meeting he had, I don't know the man. I don't know him, but I see the signs of his diminishing capacity. And this nation requires all the strength and wisdom and that a person can garner together to run it. I mean, these are very, I'm trying to think. I guess in my own personal lifetime, this is probably the worst I've seen it. If Joe Biden can't perform his duties, he needs to be replaced. Unfortunately, most of us would not be very appreciative of the vice president. She seems to be, and again, I don't know her. She may be a wonderful mother and family. I don't know her. But I don't think she's ready for that job.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't look like it to me. There are others that that I might disagree with philosophically and politically and otherwise and socially, as I do with her, but others that would be capable of rising to the occasion and doing what needed to be done. For example, I was not a big fan of Bill Clinton. I didn't like what he did. I didn't care for him. But I always felt that he had the capability of doing things. He could handle a situation, whether or not he'd handle it the way I wanted it handled. I feel like that he was in control. And I've always felt that way about people in the White House. Even though people were elected that I didn't like, I've always felt that they were capable. I don't feel that we have any capable people in the White House right now. So that's signs of danger. When there's weakness, other nations rise up. If you're at all paying attention to China, China is a major threat. They are doing things that are very dangerous. If they decide to Taiwan? Formosa? Yeah. They're trying to take that back. That's going to be very dangerous. They have nuclear weapons to protect themselves. Would they use them? Hey, we used them in World War II. You know, they probably would. They could start a chain reaction that would be devastating. Korea, North Korea, again, is flexing its muscle. A lot of things happening around the world that should make all of us run back to our faith. Make us run to God. You know, when these things begin to unfold, you know, we just finished a series about being at war, trying to prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually. What do you do if horrible things happen? I wish they possibly could. And just to make things worse, did you know how close you came to maybe dying this past week? An untracked giant meteorite came through. You know, they track these things. This one evidently was off the radar, so to speak. And it whizzed by the world, our world. They say, well, gee, you know, it's way out in space. It came closer to us than the moon was. It's pretty close. We know what can happen. If you look at all at some of the nature things and some of the science things, you know that back to the age of the dinosaurs, something really big hit the Earth. And they've got to pinpoint it. I forget now where it is, but they can see the crater of where it hit. Part of it's underwater, part of it's on land. And they can see that some of the chemical composition of the land that was there and around the world. So, the big cloud that it sent up it just choked out the sun's rays, and I believe that's what ended the dinosaurs and some other things. Again, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. I'm just saying that these are perilous times, and we as a church need to wake up and prepare ourselves individually, and renew our faith. We have no idea what tomorrow holds, but as the saying goes, we know who holds tomorrow.
That's right.
So we trust in the Lord, and we should live every day that it wouldn't matter to us if some catastrophe happened, because we would have our faith to trust in the Lord. I've talked about this before, but it's one of probably one of the most moving stories of my life was Corrie Ten Boom, when she went through all the hell she went through during World War II, and yet her faith was strong. And she wrote a book, The Hiding Place. She wrote several books. I read all of her books. So ask yourself, you know, look at just inwardly of yourself. If such a thing were to happen, would I be okay? You know, and only you can answer that question. Or would you be in a scrambling mode, trying to find some way to get some relief? We need to realize that this is not our home, and we may be out of here sooner than we think. In fact, some of our age, we may be gone sooner than we think. But we all care about our children and our grandchildren and what we leave behind. This is the way I feel about things, and you may disagree with me, but this is the way I feel about it. I don't believe it's the moment to be a war lord, to be trying to do something that would be of a military nature to protect our nation. Maybe that day will come, I don't know. But I certainly know it's a time for the church, us, to get back to our roots, to our sense of well-being in Christ, and not to be so concerned about the daily cares of life, which we'll always have, but to be concerned in the bigger picture of our nation, our church. I think things are, it's time for the church to have a wake-up call. You know, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the end-time churches, and one of the things it says to the church is, wake up! You know, wake up! You're slumbering, and I think we're slumbering. And when I heard about that meteorite blowing by, I thought, holy Christmas, if that thing would have hit, that would have been a catastrophe. It may not have hit here, but no matter, it was big enough from what I heard that no matter where it hit, it was going to impact the whole world. So at any moment, at any time, our world can change. And we've seen that, you know, with COVID. The world can change on a dime. So just kind of piggybacking on what Pat had to say, there's a scripture I want to read. I wasn't planning on reading the scripture. I'm going to read it anyway. Well, before I read that, I've been reading through the book of Judges. Hadn't been in there in a long time. I encourage you to read it. But you ever talk to a book when you're reading it? You know, I just say, I'll be reading a novel or something, and I'll talk to it. And I'll talk to the author of a book, and I'll say, that's not right. I'll say, wow, that was great. And I just do that, one of my idiosyncrasies. And I was reading through Judges, and if you know the book of Judges, there's people rise up who serve the Lord, and, you know, they rule over Israel. And then, you know, they die off, and their sons or someone takes their place. And then they go back and build these altars to Baal and Ashtaroth. And they go back to serving that instead of serving God. And then in the book of Judges, it says, God says, okay, if that's what you want, you can have that. And the disaster falls on them. And then a generation later, they all run back and said, oh, we love you, God, you know, would you, you know. And it keeps happening over and over again. And I was reading it, and I said, what's the matter with you people? Don't you get it? I mean, what does it take for you to understand that you can't keep building these altars to Baal and Ashtaroth and false gods and living like the devil, and think that's going to be okay? I mean, don't you get it? And I must admit that I thought, I wonder if we get it. You know, do we get it? we, you and I, are the most blessed people who've ever lived on this planet, as far as I can tell. And it all started with a burning faith and trust in God to come to this new world. People left everything to come to this new world. And they came, and the first things they were building were churches. And they had, you probably wouldn't have liked the early church back in the 16 and 1700s. When they had a church service, they started with the rising of the sun and ended with the sun going down. They were in church all day long. I mean, you had to be a good preacher to preach for that crowd. I mean, they preached hours and hours and hours and stayed there in church. But their prayers, their fellowship, that building of their faith sustained them through the forging of a nation. This it's been called the city on a hill, this shining city on a hill. Those people paid an enormous price. And God opened the windows of heaven and poured out blessings upon America that are so amazing. The things that the men and women that we had in this nation who built things and invented things and started things and gave us this prosperity that we've all enjoyed, the Industrial Revolution, building machines to build machines to do the virtually the impossible that this nation was able to do. And it seems like in the last 60, 70 years or so, it's being squandered. It's being thrown away. One of our founding fathers, Jefferson, probably one of the most brilliant people ever walked the face of the earth, his statues are being torn down now, squandering what we have, what we've been given. And, you know, this whole thing is just spiraling in another direction. And I see it from my perch on the pyramid, from the way I see it, it's the church that can turn it around. I don't believe, if I know the heart of God, I believe God wants to bless our nation. I think he wants to honor the prayers of those who've gone before us. I really do believe that. And I believe that God is searching for a man or a woman or someone to stand up and collectively cry out to God in faith and believe him. And not let the natural inclination of anger and despondency and what do we do? It should be a call for us. If you go read the book of Judges, what would happen is somebody would rise up and they'd say, enough! That's enough! And they'd go tear down these altars and they'd build and have a sacrifice to God. And things would change almost immediately. I believe that's where we are. And what I wanted to read you, and let's see if I'm going to have to find it on the fly here, since I wasn't prepared to do this, but I have great faith in my ability to do this. Maybe. There we go. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm just going to read it for you, all right? It's one of my favorite scriptures. And it's got so much in it. I don't intend to expound on the whole thing, but there's something I want you to see. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered his feet, and with two they flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. I mean, the angels saw that. And I think we could say ourselves, our whole nation is filled with the glory of God. It's everywhere. You hear that Listen for a minute. I want you to listen to something. You hear that noise? Kind of a background noise? That's an air conditioner running. That's the glory of God, that God gave men the knowledge to do that so that we could sit here in an air-conditioned building. People around the world, you want to go to Uganda with the Ziegler's? There's no air conditioning around there. I mean, they're sweating in the heat. This is a gift from God. I think the glory of God is everywhere. In our transportation, in our language, in the good things that we have, the majesty of this great nation. And it says in verse 4, it says, "When as they cried out, said the foundations and the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out. As they spoke and cried holy to the Lord, the church shook. The temple shook. The throne room of God vibrated." And I believe the faith of the church in crying out to God, just like we sang this morning, and singing these songs of worship. That's one of the things that I love about this church, is our time of worship, musical worship. It's not another hip-hop song. It's a thinking about God. The presence of the Lord is in this place. He holds our hand. He sees us. He knows our name. All of the songs that we sang this morning identify the glory and the power of God. And when Isaiah saw this, he said that the temple was filled with smoke. So what is that saying? And said, God revealed himself. I believe God wants to reveal himself again to us as a nation.
The presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord, yeah. And I believe God wants to do that. I think if you go knock on the throne room and say, can I come in for a minute and talk to you and say, God, what do you want to do? I believe he would say, I want to bless my people. I want to bless this nation. I believe God would say, I still hear the prayers and the cries and see the work in the hearts of those who set this place up just so that I could be honored. That's what they came. Many of you are immigrants, maybe one or two generations back. I know Miss Rose is and several others, George. When my grandfather came here, he didn't come here to worship. He came here to live. He was starving to death. There was no food in Italy. He came here to live. This has always been a place where people, where life is, and they could come and enjoy the life. But it's all here because of the prayers and the work of those who believed and forged out this wonderful nation. What I really wanted you to see is Isaiah. When that happened, he said, woe is me, for I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sins are forgiven. That's the business of God. Touching people, cleansing people, forgiving people. I mentioned last week in the sermon, being born again. Because what happens when a person gets born again? They change, and they change into the image and likeness of God, and they pick up the banner of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was the first person in my family who came to Christ. And virtually my entire family, when I talk about a family, I got a big family. On my dad's side, there were 11 kids. On my mother's side, there were 9. I got more cousins than somebody from down in the bayou, thinking a friend back there. I mean, we're all over the place. But a wave of salvation began to flow. And Packer testified, how many people, we don't have a long heritage of Christianity in my family, but the flame that was lit in me caught on to others. I'm not taking any credit for this. I'm just trying to explain to you what can happen when one single solitary soul is changed. It can change a whole generation of people, multiple generations of people. So,
part of Morris's testimony, he talks a lot about his grandfather that came from, his Italian grandfather that came from Saka. But Morris had a grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
Who was from Germany.
Actually, from the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
I just found that out.
And Morris remembers this grandmother, two things he remembers about her. She never cut her hair. She had really, really long hair. And his picture and his memory of her, she was an elderly woman. She sat in her rocking chair and read her Bible.
Wow.
He has that picture. And see, I think we forget that we have Christian heritage to look back on. How did we get here? Morris had a faithful, praying grandmother. And I must say, his mother, Morris's mother, had the most childlike faith of anybody I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that didn't affect Morris? Oh, sure. And certainly me and Tiffany. We're living in the prayers, the answered prayers of his grandparents. And then just on my side, my great-grandfather was a circuit riding preacher. So he preached the gospel. So look back and see your heritage. Where did you come from? You know, we have a heritage just like Israel has. And if you don't have a Christian heritage, you're the beginning of the Christian heritage in your family.
Amen.
Your children, your grandchildren will be impacted by every prayer you ever speak. And if you'll speak God's word over them, into them, you know, the word, they don't have to hear your prayer for that word to impact them. I prayed a scripture over Tiffany the whole time she was in high school. And it was the scripture about that there's nowhere she could go from God's presence, and that God had knitted her in my womb. And that he was with her always, wherever she went. When she was, I think, 29 or 30, I could actually go back and find the same time. I had felt impressed of the Lord to call her on a Sunday afternoon and share the scripture with her about being knitted in her mother's womb. She was getting ready to go see a doctor. Y'all know her history about not being able to conceive it. But anyway, I wanted to speak this word over her. The same word I prayed over for all through high school and college. And when I spoke that word over, she said, "Mom," she said, "this is something because that's my favorite scripture in the whole Bible."
Oh, wow.
And see, God showed me something. He showed me something. He was sending that word into her. He was implanting life, truth in her spirit. From my spirit to her spirit.
Amen.
Holy Spirit. See, so you know, we need to get back to the truth. We need to get back to the power of God. We need to know that we have been empowered by God. And no matter what your little eyes see, or what your little ears hear, you believe the truth.
Yes.
But God's way and will prevail if you will ask him,
yes,
and submit to him, resist the devil. He'll flee. But you submit yourself to God. You live in God. No matter what all this commotion, the chaos, hide yourself under that wing. Psalm 91. And see what God can do.
Good word, Pat. Thank you. My grandmother, by the way, her name is Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina.
peace, Wilhelmina. So,
Pastor Morris, his grandmother's name was Wilhelmina also.
Yeah.
And
did she have long hair?
I think her last name was Miller, but it's Wilhelmina.
Wow, Wilhelmina.
His mother is Alma Wilhelmina Lentz.
Let me give you something to, excuse me, this is a history lesson. I thought that my grandmother and grandfather, who was a Peach family, were from Germany. But I met a lady one day, and I don't know how it came up. She said, well, I don't know. She said her name was Wilhelmina. And I said, really? I said, that was my grandmother's name. And she said, oh, your family is from the Netherlands. And I said, no, they're from Germany. She said, oh, no. She said, that name is exclusively used in the Netherlands.
Wow.
You know? So you might do a little family research. You might be surprised to hear that. You can sit down, Rose. Don't get up. Don't get up.
Thank you for your kindness. I would like to say this whole service is applicable to my life this past week, yesterday, and today. My sister at work yesterday had a bad fall. She fell off of a ladder. She broke her right leg and her right arm.
Gloria.
Anyway, she has two daughters. One that's got a sane mind and is married and has a family, lives up in Hammond. The other one lives with her. And this girl is totally out of this world. If there ever was the strangest human being on the face of the earth, it's her. Anyway.
This is being broadcast.
What?
And be careful what you say, this is being broadcast.
No, that's okay. So yesterday, Joseph and I went to the hospital to go see Gloria. I made the mistake of going in there first to see her, not knowing all of this brokenness was going on. And while I'm visiting with her, Gloria said to me, would you pray for me? And I said, sure, I will. And I'll ask the church to pray for you tomorrow. So as I'm saying yes to her asking me to pray, the daughter pops up and says, well, she's got a broken leg and they're going to have to do surgery. Well, that kind of threw. Gloria didn't know that, see, and I didn't know. So anyway, as we get into the situation, she starts screaming and yelling at me as she did early in the week over other things and cursing me and saying all kinds of ugly things about me and saying, and you think you're a Christian and you know Jesus. And, well, honey, that like to set me off crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I got to get out of here. This girl's nuts. I told my sister, I said, I'll see you, Chloe. And I got out of there. Well, she was saying all this, but she was screaming in a scream tone. Six doctors coming in this room as I'm trying to get out of there. And had to calm the situation down. Joseph, poor Joseph, I felt so sorry for him. All he wanted to do was to see Gloria, and he never got to see her. Anyway, this morning, I was praying, and I was asking God. I said, God, you know my heart. You know me. Those songs we were singing this morning all apply to me. Because I was saying, God, all I want, this has been my prayer for the last couple of weeks, all I want to do is to serve you. I want to see miracles being manifested through my hands as I lay hands on people. I want to be able to speak a word to them that would bring life to them, that it would encourage them and it would strengthen them. And so as I've been praying, that series you did on walk, that really set the tone for the whole church. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because I speak this word to every single person that attends this church. examine your life. Search yourself out. What is your relationship with God? And if you don't have total peace in a complete relationship with God, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what he has called you to do in this earth, you better get busy. Because I'm telling you, there are things that are coming ahead, and God, you said it, God wants to do a mighty work in this country. But he can't do it until the church gets right with him. And scripture says to be blameless, without spot, or without wrinkle. So this is what we have to do. Examine ourselves. Examine our lives. If you have one little iota that is not right in your life, that is surrendered to God, it's time to get it right. And I tell you the truth, God impressed me so much this morning. I don't pray old time prayers like people used to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, which is a scriptural prayer, I know. But I talk to God. I have a conversation with him. I tell him everything that's in my heart, that's on my mind, that's in my soul, in my spirit. And we communicate together. And he lets me know what he wants. And he tells me what to do. And I try to do my very best to live according to his word to me. So the ultimate thing I'm saying to you is examine your lives to see where you are in the kingdom. It's important. And I would ask the whole church to please keep Gloria in your prayers. She's going to need it. Because with a broken hip that was shattered, it's going to have to be replaced. It's going to take 2 months of recovery for that. Because my beautician went through the same thing in the beginning of this year, and it took her 2 months before she could get up to walk. So please pray for me and my brother and my sister Gloria.
We will. Okay. Got it? Good. Oh, you want to say something, Miss Beverly?
I just want to say it's not just parents praying their children in and their grandchildren and whatever, their brothers and sisters. My son prayed for me for 10 years, him and his friend, before I would even begin to pay attention to it. It's so true. And one day when I started going to church, and I was going to Church of Faith on Airport Road, this guy was doing something with ministry with the youth. And I happened to be walking through, and he was on the stage, and he says, "And where is your kid tonight?" And I looked at him, and I said, "Don't worry about my kid. He's the one that prayed me in." And he looked at me, and he didn't know what to say. And I'm just saying that through my son and his friend praying for me, and then praying for my family, today, praise God, both of my boys are saved. My grandchildren are saved. My great-granddaughter is saved. And as you know, my husband, the hard-headed one of the bunch, that they prayed and we just didn't know. And I finally told God, "You know what, God? I give up. I don't care if he comes to the Lord or he don't." And one morning I was coming to church, and he said, "Wait a minute." I said, "Wait for what?" He said, "I'm coming with you, and you know the rest." So I just give God all the glory for that.
Amen. Yeah, he went out of style. Bobby went out of style. All right, George, I'm going to sneak around you here. I want to get back to my scripture. Good. Appreciate your stories. So back to Isaiah. When Isaiah was touched by God, something happened more. That was very interesting, you'll miss it if you're not looking. In verse 8 it says, "Then I heard the voice of God." He couldn't hear God's voice before. And you know, a lot of what's wrong with our world, people can't hear the voice of God. And the only thing God has to say to them is, "Come to me and be forgiven." I mean, that's the only message God has for the unbeliever. But then he heard, and he said, the voice of God saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us. And then this iconic scripture, all of us know, he said, here am I, send me. I believe all of us have a mission from God. I think there's something that we can do that nobody else can do, that we're called to do. And it may be a lot of different things. It may manifest itself in a lot of different ways. But you'll know it because you'll have that sense of well-being that, yes, this is what God has called me to do. And that's what I'm doing. I struggled with that for a long time in my Christian walk. What would you have me to do? And when I finally realized what it was and began to do that, since that day to this day, I've never asked that question again. What would you have me to do? I know I'm doing what God asked me to do. Maybe not as good as I should sometimes, but I still do it. So anyway, here's what God said. And this is where I really wanted to get us. Verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. What we say is not being understood, and what they're seeing, they're not perceiving. It's not enough for us to... I gotta be careful how I say this. We sometimes think that people get what they don't get. We use religious vocabulary and say things that you understand and I understand, but to the unbeliever, they don't understand it. What the unbeliever needs to hear is that there is forgiveness for them. I've never met a man or a woman, when I asked this question, have you ever sinned? Never met anybody who said no. Everybody knows. At least in America. I don't know about the rest of the world. I'm just talking about here in America. So we need to get that story. And many times when you talk to people about the Lord, this is what they'll do. They'll get off on another tangent, trying to mislead you into their conversation. Things that, not that their questions are bad, but it becomes your job to keep focus on. We can talk about that later. Let's talk about what happens to your sin and get them to understand the story of Jesus Christ, because that's what's going to change them. Nothing else will do it. And in verse 10, it picks up, it says, render the heart of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim. There's the next word here, it says otherwise. I don't have it on the overhead, unfortunately. Otherwise, they might see. The better translation there would be perhaps they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. So that if we will present the gospel, maybe they will respond. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But you give them the opportunity when you bring the gospel to them. And then Isaiah said, how long? And he said, until the cities are devastated and without inhabitants, houses are without people, the land is utterly destroyed. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. So God says there's this giant falling away. That's what you'll see in the book of Judges. There's this giant falling away. God didn't have to do anything to cause judgment to come upon him. All he had to do was stop holding back what he was holding back and let it flow. He let their enemies in. I believe that America has the hand of God holding back our enemies. Now we talk about we're safe between these giant oceans. Those oceans aren't protecting us like they used to. You know, but it's the hand of God that protects us. And I believe we're still under God's divine protection. And so the war that we need to fight is a spiritual warfare, as I told you through that sixth sermon series we went through. Verse 13, it said, yet there will be a tenth portion in it, or remnant in some translations, and it will be subject to burning. like a tenebreth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled or when it falls. So he said, even in the midst of all that can go wrong, it might go wrong, there will be this remnant. And it ends up, he said, the holy seed is its stump. The thing that we have in this nation is this remainder, this remnant, this tenth of the holy seed still here. It is still day and we can work. The night has not fallen where you can't work. In fact, the scriptures tell us to work while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. It is still daylight. We can still do what God has called us to do. There's still hope for America. Beloved, if America falls, the rest of the world, I don't know. I know that there's some revivals taking place in China, in Brazil, and some other places. And thank God for that. But I'm worried about us. Worried is not the right word. I'm concerned about us. So in light of what the music we had today and Pat exhorting us, and I'd encourage you to go back and read Isaiah chapter 6 on your own and see how God would speak to your heart about it, so that we will be the people of God that God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do, not for you, it's for your kids and your grandkids and the next generation. There's a great history, and if you'll read a lot of old original history and speeches and from our founding fathers back in the 1700s and 1800s, they prayed for us. They were concerned about those coming behind them, and here we are. And we want to make sure that until the Lord comes back, that this place called America still stands. If it falls, it's not going to be pretty. It's not pretty right now. Economists are saying, I don't want to scare you, but economists are saying, people who study this stuff and really know, that we're on the verge of hyperinflation. If you know what hyperinflation is, that means that the money you got's not worth anything. It's happened twice that I know of. Once during World War II in Germany, they had hyperinflation. It took a wheel. You might have seen pictures they had. People with wheelbarrows full of money going to buy a loaf of bread. It's happening in Venezuela right now. It's one of the most wealthy countries in the world not so long ago, because they overspent, went into debt, and did all the things that we're doing, they devalued the dollar. That's why it's important that, well, I don't want to get into political aspects of the same. But anyway, just from a spiritual perspective, let's take that word today. God knows your name. When you were singing that song, and I thought about this. Have you ever been someplace where maybe awards are given out or people being selected to do something and they're calling out names and they call your name? Have you ever had that happen? And how that feels? You know, it's just an amazing feeling that somebody knows your name. In the same way, God knows our name. And he's always calling our names, always calling us to be with him. So let's take out of here the message today, I believe, is pretty clear, that we sharpen our faith and our trust in God. I'd encourage you to speak to God that this week. I have a really great sermon that I wanted to preach about pressing on full speed ahead. And I really want to preach that next week, God willing. I was going to do it this week. But I think God had another direction for us that I wasn't planning on. And I hope this touched your heart. Anything you want to say before we close? Yes, ma'am.
Thankful that we still have the freedom to come and worship and pray, that we still have access to the Bible.
We still have the freedom to pray, yeah. We do today. And we want to make sure we still do.
Today, and let's use what God's given us.
Amen. I agree. Yes, ma'am.
Something that's really pressing on my heart to say.
I should have given you the microphone. Okay. I'm sorry.
With the Bible study group that I'm going to on Thursdays. The group that I'm going to, it's really a prayer group. We just praise the Lord and then we pray. And so it's really not a Bible study. But it's been so awesome to get into God's presence. And the point that I wanted to make was they're talking about the wise virgins. You know, that we have to be the wise ones that get that oil.
Yes.
And it's been a sacrifice. I don't know about y'all, but you know, one of the girls in the group was repenting and saying how hard it is for her to read the Word. And I have to say, it's the same way for me. You know, I'm like the Mary and Martha thing. I'm running around doing stuff at home, and then the phone rings, and everything tries to make me not have my time with the Lord. But I'm committed now, you know, to, God said, read Thessalonians this week. I have no idea why he told me to read it, but it blessed me. And the other thing I wanted to say was last night, Ro and I were talking about how many people, like we went to church with Beverly, you know, and George and Gail, but we were talking about how many people that we serve the Lord with at Living Word that aren't even serving the Lord anymore. You know, it breaks our hearts how many people we know now that aren't even in church. You know, and I'm not saying names because I know this is going out on the internet, but, you know, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm just saying, there by the grace of God go I.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We have had a really rough time the last few weeks, physically getting attacked, mentally getting attacked. I told the ladies in my prayer group one day, I felt like I was totally losing my mind 2 weeks ago. That attack on my brain has been so intense. I keep telling Ro, please pray for me. I don't know, you know, it's just been really difficult. But I want to say that this week I've been getting the victory, and the only way I've been getting the victory is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Last night I was saying out loud, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and a sound mind.
Yes,
and
yes,
I had
yes,
to say
yes.
that over and over again until I finally fell asleep last night, because fear has just been bombarding my thoughts. But anyway, you know, I ask you to pray for us, and we need to pray for each other.
Right.
Like, you know, we are determined that we're going to keep on serving the Lord, even with the things that are going on. And I want to encourage y'all to keep on serving the Lord. When I see George and Gail, we've been knowing them like 30 years now. It encourages me. You know, when I see Evans here and his wife, Yvonne, was my dear friend. You know, I miss her every day. She used to sit right there where Pat's sitting. I miss her. But I know she was a prayer warrior, a woman of God, and her husband's still out here serving the Lord.
Amen.
Because her prayers are still echoing in heaven.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage you that, you know, we're not giving up. We're not going to throw in the towel. And I want y'all to be encouraged today that we win, and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren that aren't even born yet are going to serve the Lord, because we're standing up for God.
Amen. Good word. Thank you, Becky. Thank you. Let's all stand. Hallelujah.
Pastor, don't forget to pray for the Lord.
Thank you for reminding me. Father, you've interrupted our plans, and that's okay. This is your service, not ours. I thank you that you spoke to us through worship and through each other sharing and through your word. And Father, I know that you don't interrupt things without a plan or a purpose in mind. And I believe that plan and purpose is to speak to each one of us about energizing our faith once again. Lord, I thank you that it's by faith that things happen. faith that mountains are moved. Faith in book of Hebrews, Father, chapter 11, talks about by faith, all the things that happen just by faith. Lord, let us be known as people of faith. Let this church be known as a church of faith, trusting in you in the midst of calamity and trouble on every hand. Father, that we believe in you and trust in you, that like the three Hebrew boys said in the book of Daniel, no, we believe you'll deliver us, but if you don't, we'll continue to worship you and praise you. No matter the, we'll need that extra strength that we don't have right now, just like you gave it to Corrie Ten Boom. Lord, you'll give it to us to sustain us in the midst of hard times. But Lord, let us not fall into hard times. I implore you to remember the prayers of those who have gone before us, those who honored you, those who lifted up your name, those who traveled from the uttermost parts of the world to come here, Father. I just pray that you'll honor their prayers that I believe are still a sweet-smelling savor in your very throne room at this very hour. Lord, there's no words that we have that can say thank you enough for being with us and ministering to us and speaking to us. We said that you're with us, and it's been obvious that you've been with us this morning in this place. And we thank you, Father. We thank you. And Lord, we pray for Beverly's sister and her entire family, Lord, for healing virtue to touch her, that she would her bones would heal, and that this would not be a detriment, but just a valley of shadows that she walks through, where your rod and your staff protect her. And Lord, that we'll get good reports. We pray for one of our ministers, dear Lord, Eugene Wellington, that you might touch him and heal him and restore him to his family and to our community. Lord, I ask you to drive COVID back to the pit where it came from, and that this nation, Lord, would rise up and proclaim the name of the Lord once again. Let all the words that have been spoken that are contrary to you, let them become dust under our feet, and that we might walk on them, and that the word of God would be the banner that's lifted up over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We thank you, and we pray together, hand in hand, heart in heart, faith to faith. We pray together in the name of Jesus, our precious Lord. And we all said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer, I'm up here. I'll be glad to pray for you. And for those who are watching on YouTube and Facebook and our website, God bless you. Thank you for being with us.